Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. I invite your attention into the Word of the Lord, to the Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, and I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture there as our text this morning. Praise God. Luke 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Lord, or our Father, rather, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I want you to notice verse 2, and this is where we'll derive our subject here this morning. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And I want to preach by the help of the Lord from this subject. When you pray, call him Father. When you pray, call him Father. Would you lift up your hands once again with me, and let's ask the Lord together right now to help us in this place. We need his anointing. We need the strength that comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. We want him to minister and move in this service. Would you pray with me fervently, church? Let's pray together. Jesus, we're asking you to move in this house, to do your will and work in this place. I'm praying, God, that you would save, that you would encourage, that you would strengthen, that you would work miracles in the lives of your people. I pray that your word would find lodging place in every soul and every spirit of every individual that is here. We thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. The concept and the idea of what a father is and the attitude that a father is to have towards his children never became more real to me than the day that I became a father. I remember the sense of responsibility, the feeling and the emotions that were attached to that. I'm sure that every other father in this room can identify with what I'm saying. The feeling, the need to protect, to nurture, to be a proper example, and to do the very best as a father that I could do. Jesus taught us that there is a lot to be learned about him as our Heavenly Father by simply observing good godly fathers here on earth. He said, you being evil, give good gifts to your children. He was drawing a parallel here between an earthly father and him as a heavenly father. That relationships like that as a father and his children are meant to give us insight so that we can better relate with God. So, a father has a child, and this will often teach him how much God actually loves him. I learned a lot about God's love towards me when I became a father, when I had my own children, because this is just the way that God has planned it. I remember on one occasion when one of my children was injured and thinking, God, you love me this much. You really do care for me this much. It was like it was an epiphany. It all came home to me at that moment. This is how much you really do love me, and even more because of the feelings and the emotions that were stirred in my spirit when I saw one of my children that was hurting and that was wounded, and my heart was broken for them. So the Lord feels about all of his children. I was blessed, as many of you, to have a wonderful father, godly father, growing up. My dad came to the Lord at a very young age, when I was a very young boy, and I was just a child, 4 or 5 years old. My mother had received the Holy Ghost about a year or so earlier, and she began to work on my father, witness to him, pray for him, and there was a breaking point. She went on a 3-day fast one time, she told me. Now, this was a new convert that really didn't know a lot about fasting, and it was quite a sacrifice for her to go on a fast of just water and no food for 3 days. But it was at the end of that time that the Lord began to deal with my father. He went to church, and the end of the story is he received the Holy Ghost, and in time God began to use him and work in his life. But a very wonderful man, and he never waffled. Once he came to the Lord, he never backslid. He never went back on God. He never backed up in any area in his relationship with the Lord. But he continued to go forward, and it was an example to me. He continued to hunger after the things of God. I remember many nights coming in, and my dad, who had a habit of reading in the evening, he would take out, at that time, a red Thompson chain Bible, and one that I was very familiar with, and he would read from it the Holy Scripture and just study the Word of the Lord. He became a teacher of God's Word, even before he became a preacher in the church. I appreciated my father. He was very adventurous. Anybody that would move to Hawaii not knowing a soul, but just maybe one or two, and not having any security of job or anything, but, you know, always being industrious and being able to move and go and do whatever he felt the Lord was calling him to do. I remember just at 15 years old, him enrolling me in scuba classes because he wanted me to learn how to scuba dive. I wasn't all that excited about it, but he wanted me to scuba dive. I wasn't so excited about going underwater that deep, and it was kind of scary to me. And then after we got the open water, he said, we're going to go back and get some more training. And we went for advanced open water. That meant that you had to dive at night. That meant that you had to do some compass work and search and rescue. That meant that you had to go 100 feet deep under the sea or under the water. And folks, there's not much to see at 100 feet unless there's some kind of shipwreck down there. There's no need to go that deep. And it's cold. It's frigid cold. But adventurous, to say the least. We fished together. We climbed mountains together. We hunted together. We worked together. We worked together. Did I say that? We worked together. Believe me, this is a man that believed in working and still does. He was and still is a very strong man. I never once thought of ever challenging my father. I remember one time talking back in a derogatory fashion, and I won't tell you the details, but I never suffered from that delusional problem ever again in all of my adolescent years did I ever talk back to my dad. But I was amazed that though he was a big man, and I only witnessed him weeping one time other than just in church services when the Lord would move upon him. But outside of that, I only witnessed him crying one time, and that was when I told him that I was leaving to go to do the work of the Lord. And it wasn't that he was sorry that I was going to do the work of the Lord. It was just that he was sorry that we would now be separated by distance and things would have to change, that I was no longer going to be the little boy that was going with him everywhere. I was amazed at his compassion and his patience with me. He always had time for my questions. And sometimes, if any of you have had children, you know that sometimes those questions are incessant. They just keep coming. And there was questions about life. And then as I grew older and the Lord began to deal with me, there was questions about the Word of God. But most important thing that he taught me, I suppose, was how to talk to God about my questions. That I didn't have to be intimidated to come to the Lord. That if I could come to him and ask him as my earthly father questions about life, that I didn't have to be intimidated to go before him as my heavenly father and talk to God about the questions that I had, maybe even questions that I had in his word. I don't know about you, but there's times when reading the word of the Lord, of course, I was raised on Acts 2:38, and I could quote it backwards and forwards. I was raised on John 3:5, and I could quote it backwards and forwards. I knew the word of the Lord when it came to those key scriptures. But I remember when I encountered my first Trinitarian, I encountered my first denominational person, and they began to debate with me a little bit, and they expanded my understanding, and I didn't know that there was a Matthew 28:19 in the Bible. And I remember coming home and saying, "Dad, you might want to sit down. I got some bad news. I'm going to share something with you that's going to revolutionize your world. Might ought to call the pastor and let him know we've been preaching false doctrine all this time." And I read to him Matthew 28:19, and he giggled. And he said, "You know, son, let me tell you, it's not like that. The name is the subject of that scripture. And we know that the name is not mentioned right there, but all of those, when it says in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, it's all pointing back to the name as a subject. So what is that name?" And he began to show me that that name is Jesus. And amen, we're right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, this book, there is no questions that you have about God that cannot be answered from this book. Hallelujah. And I encourage everybody to get into the word of the Lord and understand it and get a revelation of it for yourself. Can you say amen? But questions that I would bring before God, and many times in prayer and talking to God and seeking the face of the Lord, all of my questions are not answered always in the timing that I would like them to be. Praise God. And it's not that God is withholding information from me, but rather it is just not his time yet. The Bible describes it this way. It says, "Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." God begins to reveal things to us and show us things in his time. He begins to show us what he wants us to understand and to know. Amen. So don't be confused, because God is not the author, the Bible says, of confusion. But he is the author of our faith. And not just the author of our faith, but he is the finisher of our faith. And whatever he has began in your life, he will bring through to fruition. That ought to make somebody want to shout a little bit this morning to understand that God, whatever He's revealed that He's going to do in your life, though it may not be completed and though it may not be finished and the work is still in progress, you can rest on the promise of God. You can be comforted in the fact that He's not just the author of faith, but He is the finisher of our faith. Whatever He started, He will bring to conclusion. He will bring to fulfillment. He will totally complete in your life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That encourages me this morning. That strengthens me here this morning. And there is an answer for every question that man has. And Jesus, somebody say Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything that doesn't make sense. He's the answer to everything that causes consternation. He is the answer to everything that you wonder about and wonder what's going on and what's going to happen. He is the answer. I want you to understand that our questions do not intimidate God. I said our questions do not intimidate God. He doesn't back up and scratch his head and say, well, I haven't been confronted with that before. Or does he avoid? You ever been around somebody, you ask them a question that they're supposed to be the authority on, and it catches them off guard, and they avoid or they skirt around the issue. And a lot of times we see this with politicians when they're asked a direct question. They're professionals at working it around, so they can give you a bunch of gibberish for about 5 minutes till you forget what you've asked them in the first place. And they've answered everything but what you wanted to know about and what you ask them about. But God, He feels no pressure about being asked questions. He doesn't try to avoid or skirt around our questioning. But my experience with God is if you get real with God, that He will become real to you. When you open up your heart and you're honest with God, amen, and you're completely surrendered and yielded to God, God will reveal to you the things that you desire Him to, and He'll become real in your life. So don't shy away from asking God questions. Amen. Don't go to the books of philosophers and try to answer questions about God. Don't go to Joseph Smith's book and try to answer questions about God. Don't go and read Socrates and Plato and the philosophers, Confucius and all of those of this world to try to find answers about God. But get into His holy word. Get into the Bible. Amen. And pray, and God will reveal to you the answers. Not only answers about Him, but the answers about life. Because it's Him that created us. It's Him that breathed life into us. It's Him that gave us our being. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that He has the answer to whatever questions that I might possess. Because when we pray and we seek after God and we call upon His name, amen, God, that's what He wants us to do. He doesn't shy away from it. He embraces it. He desires it. He wants it. That's the way that He created it. Amen. He longs for you to spend time with Him. Amen. And when you pray, He said, call Him Father. Because it is that relationship that He desires to have with us. Like a father to a child. That's the kind of relationship that God desires. Now, there's a number of ways that we could approach God. A number of things that we could even call God. There's different things that we could call out to God, and they would be appropriate. You could call Him Lord, and we do call Him Lord. And as Lord, that means that He is the self-existing one. That means as Lord, He needs no battery power to exist. It means that He needs no backup generator. in case there is a power failure. I was just in an island off of Honduras, and there they had scheduled power outages. And then there were times, because of it being a third world country, that there was just for no reason power outages. And it was quite common for people in certain areas to have generators so that their businesses would not shut down as a result. There's a lot of folks that I know that live on the Gulf Coast, and because of the frequency of hurricanes and storms, they have generators for their homes so that when there is a power outage, there's a backup. But God doesn't need a backup. God, He is self-existence. Amen. He is altogether sufficient to generate power in and for Himself. And for anyone who wants to access Him, He has the power that you need. He just doesn't have enough power, amen, for Himself and to exist on His own. But He has enough power, amen, for the universe that He created and the people that are in this room and every need that you have. He is able to supply it. He doesn't have to look somewhere else to find help. He doesn't have to look somewhere else for assistance. He doesn't have to look somewhere else and say, this is more than I expected it to be. But He's self-existent. Amen. He has all power. He is able to supply all needs. Isn't that what the Bible said? He can supply all your needs. That's what Paul wrote. He said that He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Who gave us that power? I'll tell you who gave us that power. It was God that gave us that power. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. You know what keeps people in this room going when this world is falling apart? It's the power that worketh within us. You want me to tell you what keeps people going when they're faced with insurmountable challenges and obstacles in life? I'll tell you what it is. It's the power that worketh within us. No matter what the doctor says, it's the power that worketh within us. No matter what the economy does, it's the power that worketh within us. It doesn't matter what the world becomes and what it goes to. Amen. It's the power that worketh within us. I'm thankful that I have that power today in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But we don't just call Him Lord. We can call Him God. Amen. Because God, when you say He's God, you're saying He is your ruler. That's what God means. And when we talk about the fact that God is greater than other gods, we are not really comparing Him. Amen. We do not intend to suggest that other powers, there's other powers that are even in the same league, that are even able to really be compared. But there are gods that men have created that are of the lowercase g. Amen. And when we reference them, we're talking about them in the plural, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of little gods, but there's only one true and living God. Hallelujah. And there's a lot of gods that men have subjected themselves to, that they have placed on a pedestal in their life, that they have given and dedicated their lives to, whether it be sports heroes, whether it be money, whether it be power, whether it be popularity, whether it be prestige, or whether it be inanimate objects of stone or wood that has been carved out, or whether it be some figment of their imagination. But we don't intend to suggest that those powers or those gods, little g's, have any power that can compare to our God. But our God is a God that is above all those little gods. Amen. He's above all those little rulers. Because our God, He spoke this world into existence. Amen. There's no other God, amen, that has a universe, that has an earth that He's created, and beings that He's created. Amen. And has people, amen, that He can regenerate and save from a lost world of sin. There's no other gods that can do that. I said there's no other gods of this world that are even comparable to our God. But I'm thankful that I know the one true and living God. Amen. I'm thankful that I know, amen, that my God has all power. And he's God. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah that he's God all by himself. That means there's nobody that's beside him. There's nobody that has parallel power to him. There's nobody that even comes up to his level. He's God all by himself. He's our ruler. Not only do we call him Lord, not only do we call him God, but he is also, the Bible says, the Alpha. Amen. And the Omega, the Alpha, that means the beginning. That was the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Amen. Is the first of everything. He is superior to everything, anything that you can imagine. Anything that you can come up with, he's Alpha. He was before that. He was here before that. Amen. He was God before any other little gods was created, before anything else came along. Amen. He was Alpha. And he, when it's all said and done, when all the leaders and the political, amen, potentates of this world, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, the Bible said he's not only Alpha, but he's Omega. At the end, he's still going to be God. He's still going to be on the throne. He's still going to be all powerful. He's still going to be in control. I know there's a lot of different nations of this world that are right now, they're struggling for control and they're struggling for power and they're trying to take one another over, and we're seeing the fighting that is going on. ISIS over here, Russians over here, trying to bully their way through and struggle for power. But when they achieve all that they can achieve in this world, there remains one that sets high, the scripture says, and looks low. There remains one that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. There remains one that sits on the circle of the earth that is all powerful. Amen. And when it's all said and done, he's the Alpha. He was here in the beginning and he's going to be here in the end. You're putting your faith in a God that you can rest assured that is in control of everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and give praise to our God. He is the great I Am. He told Moses, he said, when you go to talk to Pharaoh, he said, that's how I want you to present yourself. He said, who am I supposed to tell him that I'm coming representing? And what authority can I approach him? He said, you tell him that the I Am sent you. You just let him know that I Am. That's it. Simply, I Am. Because if I could say it this way, my amness is enough to deliver the people from whatever bondage that they're in. I Am. Well, you're what? Just I Am. That's all you have to say. That's all you have to tell him. You should just tell him that I am. Well, the kind of power that you are, can I describe? He said, I am. Amen. So you're powerful enough? I am. You're going to be a deliverer? I am. You're water? I am. You're bread? I am. You're a healer? I am. You're life? I am. Your strength, I am. Your provision, I am. I am the great I Am. What he meant by this is he was giving Moses a revelation. Whatever need arises, because deliverance is not just going to be something that's going to happen. You're going to be freed from Egypt in one night, but you're going to travel through a whole long wilderness of some 40 years. And before it's all said and done, you're going to realize that I am. I'm provision when you need provision. I'm a healer when you need healer. I'm a protector when you need a protector. I'm a provider when you need a provider. I'm a waymaker when you need a waymaker. And we look at God as the great I am. Aren't you thankful that you know the great I am? It doesn't matter what my present problem is. He said, I am. I am able to heal you. I am able to deliver you. I am able to set you free. I am able to do a work in your life. I am able to save. I am able to get a hold of your lost loved one. I am able to turn things around for you. I am the great I am. Come on, clap your hands and let's give praise to the Lord. Not just the great I am, but he is the bright and morning star. The Bible refers to morning stars oftentimes. Theologians believe that's speaking of angels because we know that the morning stars sung together in the book of Job. But the Bible refers to our God as being the bright and morning star. Refers to him as being the bright. He's saying that there's no star brighter. Amen. There's no one that shines like he does. There's no one to compare to him. There's no light that is greater. I said there's no light that is greater. It refers to him as the morning star. That's saying before day even breaks. Amen. He started. He's already there. Amen. He's already shining. He's the bright and the morning star. He was the one who brought the new day into existence. He is the Lamb of God. He's not only the Lamb, but he's also the Shepherd. He's not just the Lamb and the Shepherd, but we know him to be the door of the sheepfold. He's not just the Lamb and the Shepherd and the door of the sheepfold, but he's the scapegoat. He's not just the root of David, but the Bible said he's the offspring of David, or he's the branch of David. He's not just the rose, but he's also the lily, the Bible said. He's not just the Father, but he is the Son. He's not just the Father and the Son, but he is the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I'm thankful that I know who he is. I'm thankful that I know who he is today. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Jehovah Rapha, he is my healer. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner or my victory. Jehovah Kadesh, amen, he is the God that sanctifies. Jehovah Sitkanu, he is my righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he is present. Jehovah Shalom, he is my peace. Jesus, the Lord is my salvation. I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is, that everything that God is, it's wrapped together in one, and his name is Jesus. When I say Jesus, I'm saying healer. When I say Jesus, I'm saying provider. When I say Jesus, I'm saying ever-present God. When I say Jesus, I'm saying the one that sanctified. When I say Jesus, I'm saying the one that saves. Oh, yeah. And you wonder why we rejoice. You wonder why we praise his name. You wonder why we get excited about his name. You wonder why we dance. You wonder why we're so thrilled this morning. Why we get so excited this morning. Why we're so enthused. It's because we have a revelation of who Jesus is. It's because we have a revelation, amen, that the God we serve can be accessed through one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. The more we magnify him, the more we see about him. You can remain standing. But you gather all those concepts about God. You gather them for the four corners of the scripture. You go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You get all those concepts and all those understandings, even all those titles about who God is. You gather them all up. You go through the historical books of the Bible. 1st and 2nd Samuel. 1st and 2nd Kings. 1st and 2nd Chronicles. go down there in the minor prophets, the major prophets, scoop it all up. Go in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go into the epistles and the writings of Paul. Scoop all of those concepts about God up. And you'll find that all of these attributes are in Jesus. In our text, the disciples witnessed what to them was something that was very mysterious. They saw Jesus praying. And to those that don't understand, prayer might seem unusual. It might seem unusual even to people that have came here to our church services on Sunday night. You see people walking up and down the aisles or bowed between the pews or on their face here in this altar, and they're moaning and they're crying out to God. Seems like an unusual thing, but they were curious. And one of the disciples asked the Lord, he said, God, would you grant us a request? Would you teach us to pray? Even as John taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus could have been petty. He could have said, well, if you want to know to pray like John taught his disciples, go ask one of them. If you want to know about prayer, go ask one of those. But he said, no. He said, when you pray, this is how you do it. He said, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. How long has it been since we got outside of our own little problems and our own little difficulties and our own little situations and prayed kingdom prayers and said, God, thy kingdom come. I know we all have ideas of what needs to happen in Israel and what needs to happen in Iraq and what needs to happen with Iran and what needs to happen over there with Russia. But why don't we just pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We know you're the one that knows best. Thy kingdom come. And then he said, give us day by day our daily bread. You know what I need today. You know what I'm going to encounter today. You know what I'm going to face today. Give me what I need to feed me and give me the strength. And he said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Help me to be a forgiver, God, because you've forgiven me of so much. Lead us not into temptation. God, I'm dealing in a treacherous situation walking in this world. God, there's pitfalls and there's all kinds of challenges to avoid. Lead me not into temptation. And notice what he said. Deliver me from evil. Oh, if you ever prayed that prayer, you need to pray it in this hour. Deliver me from all the evil that surrounds me in this world. Deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that he said to ask all of these things, and when you approach, he said, approach it this way. Our Father, our Father. As a child approaches their father. Amen. You need to pray and seek the face of God. So many times we pretend because we don't do it and often enough, and we become so accustomed to people praying. We've been around folks that pray, and we've prayed ourselves. We only pray when we're in trouble. We only pray when we got problems. We only pray in certain situations. But as I understand this scripture, this was a daily thing of coming and saying, our Father, God, I need you today. I need bread today. I need you to protect me today. I need you to Help me walk this walk today. I need you to help me, strengthen me, deliver me from evil. Amen. Pretending that we don't need prayer is like pretending we don't need food. It's like pretending we don't need water. It's like pretending we don't need air to breathe. That's why we need to know how, God. The most important thing that you need to understand, He said, when you approach, don't approach me. I'm the judge of all the earth, but that's not how I want you to approach me. I'm the creator of the universe, but that's not how I want you to approach me. I'm the Prince of Peace, but that's not how I want you to approach me. I'm Zion's righteous governor, but that's not how I want you to approach me. I'm the good shepherd, but that's not how I want you to approach me. I'm the mighty God, but that's not how I want you to approach me. When you come into my presence, you have special access. And when you pray, I want you to pray, our Father. Our Father, call me Dad. Come into my presence as one of my children and ask whatever. I know there's needs in this house today. Why don't we lift up our hands right now? Come on, why don't we call on the name of the Lord right now? Why don't we seek the face of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to understand what I'm really saying this morning, what God is trying to convey in this service. He doesn't want one person, one individual, to walk out of this place without expressing their heart's desires and needs to Him. Our Father, our Father. Amen. You've got a God that really does want you to approach Him today in prayer. He wants you to lay your needs before Him. He wants to take care of the situations.